And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Hope everybody out there is doing well today. Of course, the big story is the coronavirus, and we're going to talk about that today. And let me say right off the bat, if any of you out there, any of you has been tested and you have been found positive for the virus and you don't mind calling, call and share that with us. And just let us know how you're feeling, what the effects seem to be. Because, folks, I'm convinced that anything that we can do to damp down the level of hysteria that seems to be gripping our nation would be a good thing. We have got people emptying the shelves of toilet paper. Now, really? And folks, here again, let me just say, because we're Christians, I love the Lord. I love people. I don't want to see anybody hurt. I don't want to see anybody sick. Nobody. I'm not talking about conservatives, Republicans. This is a human thing. We don't want to see anybody sick. We don't want to see anybody hurt. And we know that this is an opportunistic virus that tends to attack most virulently the elderly who already have immune deficiencies. So we know that that's where it is. And of course, I think special pains are being taken. I trust all over the country are being taken in nursing homes and elderly housing and situations in which they're very elderly people who could be more susceptible to this. But that being said, the fatality rate for this virus is a little bit more than 3%. 3%, that means 96, let's assume 97%. God forbid. But let's just assume the whole country got it. 97% of the people who contract the virus will be fine. 97%. Now, here again, we don't want anybody to contract it, obviously, but I simply want to try to bring some perspective to this because I'm a little bit concerned that the hysteria that's been created could be worse than the disease itself. I mean, folks, we've lost 10% on the stock market. We've got the NBA closing down the season. Well, they said they're suspending the season until further notice. Harvard is sending their kids home, apparently. Sending them home. Leave. And I don't know what the number of the Harvard campus is now, but it is a gargantuan campus. There's got to be 20,000 kids on that campus between the undergraduate and the many graduate schools and the satellites that are around it. I went to the law school. I think the law school at the time I was there, the law school had, three classes about, I think we had about 6,000 in each class. If I'm not mistaken, and you all forgive me because I'm going by, each section had about 1,500 students, and I think that there were four sections. If that's the case, there were 6,000 in each section, and that means... and that was first year. I'm talking about first year students. And if that number remained true, that would be about 25,000 students in the law school. So, you know, that's a lot of people that they're pushing out of Harvard and out of Cambridge. So you just wonder. Now, not every university is doing that. Other universities are suspending classes and they're doing the classes online so the kids can stay in their dormitories instead of coming out into classrooms of various sizes, some of which are very large. And some of the classrooms I had when I was in law school, some of those classes had probably a couple hundred people in them. California, I think, has limited crowd assembling now to about 1,000 people. I'd heard that it was going to be 250, but it's limited it to 1,000 people. And some are even suggesting that churches close down. And folks, I'll just tell you up front, I am not closing my church, and we are not canceling worship services. I don't see that. To me, that would be, for me personally, and here again, and I'm not judging anybody who makes a different decision, because each of us has to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit as we best understand it. And so somebody else makes a different decision, I'm not going to point the finger at them and say, oh, you're not a Christian, you're not a good person, you're not a good pastor, whatever. Because each of us has to answer to God. Each of us has to face him and give an account for the deeds done in the body. So I think the best we can do is try to follow our own conscience before God as best we understand it. But I would not close my church. I would say to the people, pray and fast and believe God and trust God, because he's going to take care of us. I'd confess Psalm 91 that 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It will not come near you. In fact, I confess that, folks, over the whole country. I confess Psalm 91 over the whole of the United States of America. We dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And we say of the Lord, he is our refuge, our fortress, our God, and in him we trust. So we are not afraid of the hour that flies by day, or the pestilence that walks in darkness, or the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it will not come near us. I just confess that over our entire country. I just think we need to get a little perspective here. Right now, my understanding is this year, somewhere between 30 and 40,000 people will die of the regular seasonal virus. Will die, 30 to 40,000 will die of the regular seasonal virus. And 34 million Americans have the regular seasonal flu, forgive me, the regular seasonal flu. And that 34 million people have the regular seasonal flu right now. 34 million Americans have it. That's a little bit more than 10%. So my first thought is we just need to, here again, do those things that use common sense, use godly wisdom, take precautions. If you hear that a place has people who have been diagnosed with it, stay away from that place, stay away from those people, that sort of thing. And this is no time, obviously, for foreign travel, because other countries have been hit, for the real industrial countries have been hit far harder than we have. And just do those basic common sense things. And other than that, I think we go on with our lives. I don't think we empty the supermarkets of toilet paper. And because if I'm not sure what that would do anyway, what that does anyway. But my wife asked me, she said, I think I was at the supermarket a couple of days ago. My wife asked me, did you see empty shelves? I said, well, I didn't even look. You know what I mean? Because I'm just really not afraid of this thing. And the other thing that gives me great confidence, folks, I think we've got a president who loves this country, loves our people, and is going to do everything in his power to protect this nation. And he is going to do that with wisdom and with common sense, using the powers of his office to do what needs to be done. I think he's going to watch it very carefully. I don't know whether you saw his statement last night from the Oval Office. And then he made some further comments today in a press conference with the Prime Minister of Ireland by his side. And he was completely and totally on point. In fact, I wrote a little Facebook post yesterday after the president's Oval Office speech. It's already had close to 12,000 views. I'll share a little bit of it with you. Just stand by. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
In this highly politicized culture, we see that more and more people are called racist. Dennis Prager has been watching this and even seen the label used against him. His commentary not only tells his story, but provides some insight on why the left calls good people racist. After he spoke at a Turning Point event, the vice provost for diversity at Purdue University claimed that Prager said slavery was not bad. Dennis Prager explains that he never said anything remotely like that. After he mentioned it on his radio show, the provost wrote to Prager and suggested they meet, but offered no apology. Prager provides another example from his radio program where he mentioned some of the offensive words used by President Truman. A listener called to ask why Prager would repeat one offensive word but not use the N-word. He merely replied that the left has rendered the N-word the only unutterable word in the English language. Days later, news stories surface claiming that Prager said it's idiotic that you can't say the N-word. Prager believes that there are two major reasons why the left smears with the label racist. First, truth is not a left-wing value. Truth, he explains, is a liberal value and truth is a conservative value, but truth is not a value of the left. As we've discussed in previous commentaries, he makes a clear distinction between liberalism and the left. Second, smearing opponents is not only a left-wing value, it's a standard operating procedure. The left does not win through argument, it wins through smear. Making a well-reasoned argument in the public sphere, and you will be smeared with the label racist, sexist, bigoted, intolerant, homophobic, Islamophobic, or xenophobic. It's easier to call someone a racist or a fascist than to make a reasoned argument. That's why the left does it. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
8 Days of Hope continues to be the hands and feet of Jesus. The ministry is in need of volunteers as they turn their attention to Nashville. Visit 8daysofhope.com to learn how you can help. Here's 8 Days of Hope President Steve Tiber.
We're looking for people who just want to serve others. You know, you don't have to be super gifted. Every disaster gives an opportunity for a believer to share a glimpse of Jesus Christ. On a moment's notice, your life can change, and you don't know what to do, and all of a sudden you get a knock on your door, and there's a dozen volunteers that have come from all over the country, and homeowners usually, they just start to weep. They're so blown away that volunteers they don't even know would come to their house to help them. That's the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
Volunteers must be 18 years or older. Food and lodging are provided. Be a part of helping tornado victims in Nashville. Learn more or sign up at 8daysofhope.com.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
So at any rate, this coronavirus has really taken the country by storm, at least captured the imagination of the mainstream media, and seems to have captured the imagination of a lot of people in big institutions like sports and entertainment and so forth. We know Tom Hanks and his wife apparently have been found to have positive tests for the coronavirus, but they look fine. They seem like they're just fine. I guess they had some mild symptoms and decided to have the test, and they had the test and found out, oh, guess what? We've got the coronavirus, but they're not laid up in bed or anything. Like they can't move. I think they have to, once again, like everybody else, they have to self quarantine so that they don't spread the thing to other people, which is of course a wise idea. That's what ought to happen. But let me say a couple of other things about the politicizing of this and some of the implications of this that I think really this coronavirus, believe it or not, folks, and Don't react yet. This coronavirus could be a blessing in disguise. It could be a blessing in disguise. Now, because I know the left will run off and go crazy and say that I'm hoping that people get the coronavirus. I'm not. That's not what I mean. So let me quickly explain what I mean so that it's more difficult for them to lie about what I mean. Here's what I mean. Well, I don't think it's obviously ever desirable for us to have a pandemic affecting our country, and I would never wish that on our country. But now the reality is that we have it. It's here. So what's the blessing in disguise? Well, for one thing, we have had made starkly clear to us that we depend upon China for much of our pharmaceuticals. They're manufactured in China. And here's the blessing in disguise from my perspective. That ought to alert us and alarm us to say, you know what, we don't ever want to be dependent upon a foreign country that is at best an adversary, at worst may be a mortal enemy. We don't ever want to depend upon them for our essential needs. Just like, remember the president said early on in his presidency that one of the reasons why we needed to bring the steel industry back in America was that we needed to be in a position to manufacture our own weaponry, that we don't want to be dependent upon foreign countries for manufacturing our munitions and our weaponry, because God forbid in a time of war we put another nation in the position to deny us essential things that we need to fight for our lives. And I thought, wow. I like this guy. You know, I mean, that just appealed to me right down to my bones, folks. Because, of course, it's just common sense. You don't want to be dependent upon somebody else, certainly not an adversary, but you don't even want to be dependent upon another nation that we consider to be a friend for our essential defense needs. That doesn't make sense. And he's the first president I ever heard even suggest that or say that. Well, in the same way, we're learning in a situation like this, we don't want to be dependent upon another nation for the medical supplies that we need to treat our people in a time of health crisis. And what I would hope would come out of this, and I'd be surprised if this president doesn't jump right on it, what I hope would come out of this is that we would be starting to figure out a way to get the manufacturing of our pharmaceuticals happening in our own nation. It would create jobs for our people, and it would create a much better national security situation if those essential pharmaceuticals are being made here in the United States of America. Not to mention, folks, and I say this without any apology whatsoever, not to mention that it offers the ability for another nation to poison us. Yeah, I know. Oh, that sounds so conspiratorial, and the left will go crazy. But folks, didn't Putin poison one of his adversaries? This is not new. And the fact of the matter is, we live in an evil world, and a nation like China, and God bless the Chinese people. The Chinese people are just like everybody else. They're sinners in need of salvation. But their leaders are godless, totalitarian dictators who believe that their ideology should dominate the world. And you know who's in their way? The United States of America. I would not put it past them, or for that matter, any adversary, to use pharmaceutical warfare, biological warfare, or any other kind of warfare against us that they thought they could use to harm us or to destroy our will and ability to defend ourselves. So that's the sense in which this may be a blessing in disguise. It alerts us to the fact that we are far too dependent upon a foreign adversary for essential needs of our people. And in fact, I have not read this, but I did hear this mentioned on one television report that initially China, when they were complaining about racists complaining about China and racism against China and all of this nonsense, that they were threatening to withhold pharmaceuticals from us. That they were saying maybe we should just hold back and not give America the pharmaceuticals it needs and see how they like that. Well, whether somebody in China actually said that or not, and I'll verify that, but whether they said that or not, that ought to set off alarm bells. Just the fact that the issue is even raised ought to set off alarm bells in us. So in that sense, this could be a blessing in disguise. And there's one other sense, too, which is I think this is walking us through an exercise of how to protect ourselves in the event of a truly deadly pandemic of some kind. And this coronavirus is really not deadly. And that, of course, it will affect some people and some people will lose their lives from it. And I understand that. I'm not trying to minimize that. But this is not a pandemic where you get it, you die. And it's spreading quickly and it's killing people. But folks, I would not rule out the possibility of something like that happening one day. And this gives us an opportunity to think through, how do we deal with this? It just makes me, and look, we are a nonprofit radio network. We do not endorse candidates. We do not expend our resources on candidates. But I'm speaking for myself personally. I'm just really glad that we have a leader that I really believe cares about the people of this country in a deep and a profound way, and is always looking for ways to keep the American people safe. I heard him say that, the stock market's losing some value. He said, but what's that compared to the lives of the American people? Man, that's the way I want to hear a president talk. What's that compared to the lives of the American people? You know, we've got to save lives. We don't want anybody to die. You know, that's our first responsibility, to protect our people. And that's exactly the way it should be. And I think this may be, you know, God forbid something worse happens, but it certainly is a dress rehearsal, an opportunity for us to sort of think through those kinds of issues. Because, folks, we do live in a wicked and sin-sick world. I mean, this is not heaven. And no matter what these socialists and communists think, it'll never be a utopia. And the more they try to force some kind of utopia on us, the worse things will get. And so in that sense, and not in the sense that people get sick and not in the sense that some people will die, but just in the sense that this gives us an opportunity to kind of think through and walk through how we defend ourselves from this kind of attack. And by the way, I'm not saying that this is an attack, which brings me to the last point I will make probably during this break. And then when we come back, I want to start taking your calls. And the number to get through. Oh, my goodness. What did I just do here? I got sound coming from another direction. The number to call me is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I want to know what you all think about all of this. How are you reflecting on it? And like I said before, if you're one of those people who's been tested and tested positive, if you don't mind, if you're willing, I'd love to hear from you and have you describe to us, you know, how you're feeling, what you think you're going through, because we'd like to pray for you. Because, you know, we hear this stuff in the abstract, but we don't really get to, for the most part, most of us are really not going to get to meet and talk to people who have it. By the way, if you're a person who's met and talked to someone who has it, which means you've been exposed to it, we'd love to hear from you as well. You may have been tested and found that your test was negative, that you didn't have it. But we'd love to talk to you as well about anybody that you might have observed who you think or who you know, in fact, has it. But the other thing I want to mention is this. Folks, I am so tired of hearing the race card played in every imaginable circumstance. I mean, it is just ridiculous. The president said this is a foreign virus, and Jim Acosta of the Communist News Network says, well, that was a xenophobic comment. No, it was a factual comment. When this congressman called it the Wuhan virus because it came from Wuhan, China, that's where it was first discovered or first emerged. Oh, that's racist. That's racist. You can't call it the Wuhan virus. Well, we call viruses by the names of the places from which they've come before. This stuff has just got to stop. It really does. It's just ridiculous. You can't call things what they are because somebody's going to accuse you of being a racist and a bigot. Well, thank God for a president who just doesn't care. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
It's a great pleasure sometimes for those of us growing older to recall past events in our lives. It's kind of funny how things grow more precious as the years go zooming by. Memories seem to be so much richer the older they get. I was thinking about some old times the other day. I remembered quite clearly one occasion. It was about a high school football game. It was a very important football game for our team, for we'd gone through nearly the entire season, and we were undefeated and untied, and it looked like we were en route to a perfect season. We had a big game coming up, and the game could decide the conference championship. And if we could win this one, it was all ours. There was much excitement about that game. We played on the visitors' field, but nearly everyone from our hometown had followed us over, and the stands were packed with fans pulling for us. We felt certain we could defeat our opponent because we had beaten a team by 26 points, which had previously beaten this team by 13 points. But after the game got underway, nothing seemed to go right for us. We could move the ball down to the opponent's 5-yard line, but we never got any farther than that. I guess we spent about 50% of the first half inside our opponent's 5-yard line. But for some reason, we could never get the ball into the end zone. Late in the first half, one of our opponents intercepted a pass and ran it nearly the entire length of the field for a touchdown. The extra point was good, and at the half, we went into the dressing room with a 7-0 deficit. Ours was a rather dejected group, for we had not been behind a game all season. Most of the fellows were already conceding defeat. I can remember that only one other player and myself were still positive. We thought we could win. Well, in the second half, we played a little better. We managed to score a touchdown. And when it came time to call a play for that crucial extra point, which would mean a tie, the play was a pitch-out option on which the quarterback could either elect to run with the ball or pitch it out to myself. I was playing the halfback. And at the last moment he pitched it out, I grabbed the ball, and I don't believe a bulldozer could have stopped me. It was 7-7 with time left to score again. You know, I played extremely hard in those last few minutes, and nearly once I broke away. We were so close to scoring. But I didn't have the speed or coordination or talent, and my try was short. I can remember walking off the field when the game was over. I was awful despondent. A tie in my book was as bad as a loss. But as I walked off the field, my father was waiting for me. You know, he'd never done that before. And I can remember the expression on his face. He was proud of me, of the game I had played, despite the tie. I'd done my best, and he was proud. You know, over the years, I've come to realize that my Heavenly Father is like that also. He's proud of us when we've done our best, even if it wasn't good enough. And every time I lose or tie now, after doing my best, I remember that. And somehow, it gives me the strength to try again.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
So far, folks, China has 80,796 deaths as a result of the coronavirus. 80,796 deaths. And can you believe that there were people who thought that the president should not cut off travel from China? I'm sorry, 80,796 cases. Forgive me for that mistake. 80,796 cases, only 3,200 deaths, 3,200 deaths. But still, we've got 13,000. Wow, boy, my math is off today. We've got 1,391 cases and 39 deaths compared to 3,200 deaths in China. We've got 1,391 cases compared to 80,796 cases in China. And people were complaining that we cut off flights from China coming into the United States of America. Duh. Of course. It only makes sense. And now the president is also, of course, as you all know, cut off flights coming from Europe. Because, folks, Europe, if you consider Europe as a whole, now you look at each country, and that's one thing, but you consider Europe as a whole, And they're getting hit much, much harder with this than we are. I mean, Italy's got 12,462 cases, much smaller country, to our 1,391. Let's see. Spain has 3,059 cases. Germany has 2,502 cases. France has 2,281 cases. Each of those countries is much smaller than the United States of America. Each of them has far more cases than the United States of America, and for the most part, more deaths than the United States of America, because our president did what they didn't do. He immediately secured our border. Does that sound familiar? He immediately secured our border and secured entry into the United States of America. Wow, that's interesting. So in other words, the very thing that these leftists have been fighting is the very thing that's probably going to save tens of thousands of lives, because we have a president who is willing to defend the sovereignty and the borders of the United States of America and only allow in the people that we want in. Huh. Well, what do you know? You know, sovereignty and borders actually work to protect the nation. Who would have thought? All right, folks, the number is 888-589-8840. Let's get to your calls. And let's go first to John in Mississippi. John, welcome.
Hello.
Hi, John.
Yeah, this is John. I used to be a lifelong Democrat, but I feel that the Democratic Party has left me now. So I've become a Republican. And I am thankful for what Trump has done. And how he's handling the coronavirus. I live in Waveland, Mississippi now, and we haven't had any real impact of the coronavirus here that I'm aware of. But I think how he's handled it has shielded us from getting that here.
Absolutely, John. Yeah, look, I think you were on point. Is that your wife in the background, by the way?
Yes, it is.
Well, tell her I said hello. Tell her we can hear her in the background. putting her two cents in. So thank you, Mrs. John.
But she's a good wife. It makes a lot of sense.
All right. Well, listen, John, thanks for the call from both of you. God bless you. And look, you are absolutely right. And by the way, John, I left the Democrat Party back in 1980 because, like you, I felt that the Democrat Party had left me as a Christian and that I simply could not subscribe to the things that they were doing. And that was, 40 years ago. I could see the handwriting on the wall where they were going. And, of course, it's only gotten worse with time. So welcome. Welcome, John. I'm sure the Republican Party is glad to have you and your wife on board. In North Carolina. Let's go to Kenny. Kenny, welcome.
Hello. How you doing, Bishop?
Great, Kenny. How are you?
I'm wonderful. So, yeah, I'm an avid listener of AFR. I've been listening to it for about 20 years and very glad to have your show on board with them now. I enjoy it very much.
Thank you.
My wife is a nurse, and she happens to be an infectious disease nurse at the health department locally. And so she's privy to the most latest information, particularly that comes from the CDC. And I think my purpose for calling today is really simple, and that's just to caution people to quit looking to the fake news on television and then what you read on the internet. Just because it's posted doesn't mean it's real or accurate. All you have to do is go to the CDC website, and you can get all the information that you need. So according to my wife, the regular flu viruses that we have every year is flu A and flu B and some strains of those. And so with the combined of A and B, according to the CDC, to date, the percent of flu respiratory illness deaths is currently at 6.9% for death toll. Now, that's down from last year, 7.3%. So my understanding from all the things I've heard on AFR, because that's my main news source and one news now, my understanding is this virus strain of cold, CV-something-19, I don't even want to call it coronavirus because all flu is coronavirus, but the CVC-19 or whatever it's called, my understanding is they're predicting somewhere between 2.5% to 3.5% death. So to me, that's a lot less than what current flu A and B is giving us. So again, just go to the CDC. Please get your information from their folks. It's not fake news. Don't let them freak you out. And Bishop, thank you for that. And
well, Kenny, just before you go, does your wife have any theory about why people are acting in such a hysterical way? I mean, emptying the shelves of toilet paper and this kind of thing. Does she have a theory about that? Because I have to admit, I'm a little puzzled by it.
No, sir. No, Bishop. She has no idea why people... Well, I mean, it's hysteria, and I'll give you my opinion. My opinion is because the fake news, and that's where, unfortunately, where so many people get their information from, is just pushing an agenda. And you've already talked about, you and other talk shows on this station have talked so much about what potential agendas could be out there.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing I do want to clarify, because I want to be sure I'm giving appropriate information, is that there is a difference between this strain and the normal A and B. And that is normal A and B, I don't know the exact number, but typically if you and I get the flu, we might be contagious, and I don't know the exact number, but somewhere between 24 and 48 hours, we may be contagious before we have the symptoms. Whereas this CV-19 strain, it appears that people can have it for up to 2 weeks and not even know it and not even show symptoms. And so,
and yet be contagious too.
That's got to be, yeah. So let's be honest about it. That's pretty kind of crazy that you can have it for 2 weeks and be spreading it and not even know it.
Okay, listen, I got to take a break. But, Kenny, you've been very, very helpful. I really appreciate you calling in. You've given us some good information, and thanks a lot. And you're probably right. That's what we need to do. Go to the experts for the information, because the fake news media, no question about it, they're going to try to pursue their agenda. And they have one agenda, folks. It is to bring down President Donald J. Trump. But I tell you what, they're going to have a hard time bringing him down. And you know why? And I believe this with all my heart. I believe he's propped up by Almighty God. Not only by the people of this country who love this nation, who love God, and understand that this man is a sinner saved by grace, but I believe that Donald Trump is propped up by Almighty God and put there for such a time as this. Back in a moment.
The first thing that I would tell somebody to do is to just realize that God loves you beyond anything you can ever ask or imagine.
How do you learn to forgive yourself? Here's Lisa Robertson on Focus on the Family Minute.
The second thing is, he sent his son to the cross for every sin, not just one small little white lie, not just somebody stole something. He sent his son to the cross for every despicable sin that we can think of. So whenever I look at the cross and I look at that blood that drained down that cross, if I cannot forgive myself, what I'm saying is, that's not enough. But it has to be enough.
More from Lisa at FamilyMinute.org.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend,
Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
When I say the word faithful, what comes to mind? Well, you might think of your spouse, your pastor, or that old college buddy who's always been there for you. At American Family Coffee, we think of our newest blend of coffee. Made from Ethiopia Yirgacheffa beans, this flavorsome coffee is a lighter roast with a mild body, delicious hot or cold. Look for Faithful and an assortment of other blends of American Family Coffee at afastore.net.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Well, folks, continuing breaking news because of the coronavirus, the Fed is injecting $1.5 trillion into short-term lending markets to try to calm investors' worries about the coronavirus. The NHL, the National Hockey League, is suspending their 2019-2020 season because of the coronavirus outbreak. The Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York is closing indefinitely until, at all the three locations apparently, until this coronavirus begins to recede, I suppose. So the panic and the hysteria continues. And by the way, the President of the United States, as you all know, has canceled two of his rallies. And, you know, this is one case, folks, where I would say the president is not overreacting, and I'll say it for this reason. If the president holds a rally and one person, just one person gets sick or is found to have the virus, who do you think they'll blame? He's irresponsible. He doesn't care about the lives of people, and on and off they would go into la-la land over it. So I'm glad the president is suspending his rallies because he just doesn't need it. He just doesn't need it. I think he's doing it, obviously, for sincere reasons. But just for crass political reasons, frankly, yeah, don't do it until this is over, because they're always looking for an excuse to get the man. And this would just be one more excuse. And he just doesn't need to give it to them. So good for him. Let's come back to your calls. Let's see. We've got, thank you all for being very, very patient. We've got Ann in Louisiana. Ann, welcome.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. First of all, I want to thank you so much for your program and tell you what an encourager you are to me personally for standing up for the truth and not backing down. I just admire you
Thank
for
you.
That so much.
Thank you, Ann.
We don't hear enough people like you. We do hear a lot of people, but we don't hear enough. I mean, you stand so firm. It's like you're like a mountain. You're kind of like Trump, you know. But look, I think this virus is a wake-up call for everybody all over the world, but mainly for us Christians to stand up and step out just like you're doing and stand up for God. And what mm-hmm. and what he can do to stop this virus, and what he will do. Number three, is there any way, and if you think so, agree. If not, that's fine. Can we get the president to organize a day of prayer I mean, the whole United States at one time, maybe 12 noon. I don't know. But I think as a whole, that would be so impressive.
Look, you took the words right out of my mouth. In fact, with all the people around him, I'm sure that that's probably being discussed. Of course, you know, the ACLU would go crazy. But
I thought that he.
But you know, they would. They'd be filing lawsuits and they'd just go crazy. But I was hoping that the president might even, during his speech last night, say, this is not a time to panic. This is the time to pray. And I think that probably will be coming from the White House in one way or another. In the meantime, you and I and all of those in the sound of my voice and all the God-fearing people all over this country can be praying, and I'm sure that we are. So, Ann, thank you so much for the call, and thanks for the encouraging words. We really appreciate that. Let's go to Lee in Virginia. Lee, welcome. Lee, you're on.
Yes, sir. God blessings on you and your family and your ministry.
I'd like to
make two points right fast. One is I am totally disgusted with – can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I am totally disgusted with this country and disillusioned that our leaders, especially the Democrat Party, cannot come together in a time of pandemic to encourage this president instead of armchair quarterbacking him. And the second point I'd like to make is, what is all these people – that's running to the for water and out of toilet paper. What are they going to do when these horses ride in Revelation and one third of the population of the world is going to be killed just in that one place? You know, I'm wondering if God, he's using earthquakes, storms, weather, wars. He's trying to wake people up. And I just wonder, could this be the last wake up call? And God bless you.
Well, God bless you too, Lee. And you really have me kind of laughing there when you said, what in the world are they going to do when the real panic, when the real pandemic, the real plague start? And you're absolutely right. But for my money, for my sense of peace of mind, it's how do the people of God react? You see, because we see what others don't see. We know what others don't know. You know, I said earlier, I really believe that God has raised up Donald Trump for such a time as this. You say that to a secular person, they look at you like you got two heads. They don't have a clue. It just doesn't even register. So we see what they don't see and know what they don't know. And we should be looking at this, yes, as a dress rehearsal, as a time for measuring ourselves and saying, okay, Lord, my trust is in you. Now, I've said, and look, you all know me. If you've listened to this program for 2 minutes, you know I love this country with a fervent passion. I believe that America is a gift from Almighty God, and the rights and the privileges that we have here are gifts from Almighty God, one of the greatest gifts God has ever given to any people in all of human history. And I'm just so grateful every day of my life that I'm an American. But I'll tell you something, our security is not in our economy, and it's not in our money, and it's not in our military, and it's not in our ingenuity. Our security is in Jesus. Our security is in God. And the word says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Not blessed is the nation who have the best colleges or the universities or the best inventions, but blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And I believe we have all the things that we have because our God is the Lord. And folks, I'm gonna get right back to the lines. I got to tell you this. Did you know that Harvard, of course, was formed as a school to train ministers to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ across the frontiers, right? 1600s. Well, when Harvard began to lose its sense of mission for the gospel, Yale was funded to start so that there could be a school that would be faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And guess what? Neither Harvard nor Yale are faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, they have wholesale rejected it. And what we've got to do is make sure that America, founded and rooted and grounded in faith in God, never goes the way some of these once great universities founded for the gospel of Jesus Christ, have now gone into total and abject rebellion against Almighty God. So that, because our faith in God is our security. Okay, let's come back and get more calls in. Davis from Tennessee. Davis, you've been very patient. Thank you for that. And you're on.
Hello, sir. Not much more I could add that the other last three callers hadn't already said. First of all, thank you for what you do. Thank you for your service in the Marine Corps. I'll right there with you.
Oh, all right.
Thank you for having the courage to stand up and give us the truth. You know, we don't get the truth through the regular news. And I agree with everything you say. So it's not much more I can say. Just appreciate
right,
you.
Davis.
Appreciate your callers.
And all right, Davis. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, brother. God bless you. Semper Fi. Do or die. Hoorah. Let's go to Lucy in Tennessee. Lucy, welcome.
Hi, Bishop. I wanted to share a verse first, and then 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. And that's what we've got to dwell on. This fear is not of God.
Amen.
And this morning I called President Trump's request line, 202-456-1111, and asked him to have a day of prayer and fasting for this pandemic, also for the socialism and the communism going on in this country. I think we all over the nation need to rise up and pray for the Lord to stop this evil in our land.
Amen,
and I
Lucy.
Thank the Lord for you, Bishop.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Lucy. I really appreciate that. Let's try to get one more call in here. Let's go to, Howard in Louisiana. Nope. Howard, you've only got about 15 seconds, but I wanted to try to get you on.
Well, I'd like to say Isaiah 53:5, read it, and I think it's Matthew 8:18, where Jesus stilled the storm, and I think it's John 14:19, I don't have the reference right here in front of me, where we're given the authority to stand against this stuff.
Praise God. Howard, you said it very succinctly, and you said it in record time, so thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Be blessed.
Can't get to thank you, brother. God bless you. Can't get to all of you, but listen, I'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place, Lord willing. And folks, here again, all of you have been sounding the same note. Our hope is in God. Our hope is in Jesus. And we just need to continue to tell everybody we know. You know, there's an old song that I really love, and it says, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Sadly, we're living in a time when that gets ridiculed. And when some tragedy happens and we say we're praying for people, a bunch of folks on the left say, "We don't need prayers. We don't need prayers." I beg to differ. Prayer is the most powerful force in the universe because prayer connects you to the author and creator of the universe. And there's nothing too hard for him. So, folks, we don't need to be worried about the coronavirus or anything else. Our hope, our trust, our peace is in Jesus Christ. And remember this, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.